Hey, good evening, Bob. Thanks for agreeing to do this session. Today I was hoping that we're going to do revisit your Bob's Tiny Note chart. Okay, the date here is the 28th of June 2011, and in Hawaii it's the 27th of June. Okay, what I was hoping we'd do today is create an audio Baedeker, a sort of a guidebook to the Xenochronous Bob's Tiny Note chart. And we're going to try and update it and have you look back in the same way that McLuhan updated Mechanical Bride with Culture as Our Business. It's you're going to look back at the charts, and we're going to provide a simple, crisp, and clear outline for the readers. I guess the motive for doing this is that the voice that I've heard that you refer to as the first speaking new medium and as the new significant chapter or phase shift in media history, also known as ION, has suggested that an understanding and knowledge and a capability to read your charts is the first base in terms of grappling with the dynamics, contours, and lineaments of the new media situation. So does it make sense?
Yeah. Okay, so at the bottom of the tiny note chart, there's a sentence. It says, waiting for organic bodies, the spinning clothing crystals have danced the hexad, in brackets, vertisement.
Yep.
So hexad becomes advertisement. So it's the hex-advertisement. So what I meant by that, and this was organized in 1995, is that this was the picture, the five levels of the chart, were the Orphic Baroque spirals of the spinning clothing crystals dancing about as they waited for a new level of perception or a new level of being would happen. And I called it waiting for organic bodies. Back in 1990, Carolyn had a big sign in front of her clinic, and it was titled Doctors for Bob. And it had capital B dot capital O dot capital B. So what did that mean, Doctors for Bob? Well, when the authorities came around and were hassling her about her practice, as they left, they go, and by the way, what does Bob stand for? Doctors for Bob. Bob Ray? And Bob Ray was the new premier of Ontario, one of the provinces that Toronto was in. And they thought it was her being a political proponent of Bob Ray. So he says, is that referred to Bob Ray? And she says, no, B-O-B stands for Building Organic Bodies. Doctors for Building Organic Bodies.
Why did you start there at the bottom?
Because that's explaining what you're looking at. You're looking at the waiting period. And you're watching the spinning of all the memes and their after images, say from 1990 to 2012 or 2020. It depends on how you look at it. If you look at the Dobbs quadrant, which is the bottom part, it says 1977 to 92, and that crystallizes around 1990. Each quadrant has a year, 1980, 1970, 1965, and 1960. Those are the clothing crystals, all right? So the quadrants are spinning clothing crystals. And by 95, they're after images of the spinning clothing crystals. And they are dancing about, waiting, twiddling their thumbs, until a new level has been reached. And that new level is called Akasha on the chart. So if you go up and look under Bob, at the very top where it says Rai, one column, Eloy, second column, middle column, two, T-U, the fourth column, Lofty, on the right, and the far right column is Bob. If you scan down, you see the sixth position is Akasha, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Akasha is the definition that came through cosmic awareness back in the late 60s. Of the new being we were moving into when Rai returned to the plane of essence.
Okay.
So here, let me just say the sentence. So here are these obscure concepts I'm starting off with, and I'm going to explain them. But that's the headline. We have now arrived at the Hexad level, the Akasha level, and so we now look back on how it happened. The chart becomes a retrospective of how we got to where we are today with Ion.
Okay, so I was hoping, if, in terms of your reflections on meaning, if you could limit to the new, because I think the session that you did with Scott Norris, I definitely point at that as being an exceptional work, and you and Scott do a really great job there. And so let's just focus on the updates, and then and possibly concentrate first on the structure and the source of the terms and how to reconcile the dates.
Okay, so if you look at, I think it's a book called De-Romanizing the American Church. Do you remember that book title around 1970?
Yep.
And Marshall did a preface for it. And in it, I think near the end, he said that the incarnation of Jesus and the life of Jesus and the conclusion of Jesus' life change matter. Do you remember that sentence?
Yes, it's one of the only theological statements McLuhan ever made.
That's right. Matter of fact, I think it's in Electric Light, isn't it?
Yes.
I think that's so you can catch that in the book, The Medium in the Light, collection of Marshall's religious interviews and articles with that kind of theme. Well, that's an important statement, which I read back then in 1970. Now, I had acquaintance with cosmic awareness by that point, and I knew that cosmic awareness was saying that Ra'i, the original separateness, which created principalities and hierarchy and all kinds of human condition, that had returned to essence. So there, Dave Worster was the vehicle, the channel for cosmic awareness in the late 60s. And so I talked about this with him, and he said that matter had changed. And this was symbolized by Ra'i returning to essence in January 67. And they used the term Akasha. Now, I then read once in one of the channelings by Dave Worster, I'm pretty sure, around that time, awareness itself, cosmic awareness, said that the resurrection of Jesus, the life of Jesus, began the movement into Akasha. So cosmic awareness said the same thing as Marshall said. Matter had changed at the time of Christ. And it was up to the Christian to tune into that somehow. You know what I mean? So that had a profound memory or a theme that would circle in my head through the 70s and 80s. So when we did the first perfect pitches, the first top-down and bottom-up chart, you will notice that one of the grounds, basically the ground in the 70s and 80s, is called the Second Coming. Right?
Yes.
And so I always had the change in matter in mind. And I used to look at media, the history of mass media since Christ, as the kind of waiting for the ability to tune into the matter that had been changed by Christ. All right? So with those themes in mind, back in the mid-80s, I went from the printed press to the newspaper in the bottom-up chart, which is a small chart, to radio, TV, computer, satellite. But I make the technology after the satellite the Second Coming. Okay, so those were ancient themes rattling around in my being, you know, for decades. So in 95, when I made the two charts, there's the Bob Dobbs formula chart, and then there's the tiny note chart. And the tiny note chart is like Eve's rib. It's taken out of the Bob Dobbs formula chart. And it is what I thought of in one level, because I use different schools of thought and perception to go over the chart, spiral over it from different angles. One of them was that since Ra'i returned to the plane of essence, what was left was the cobwebs of Ra'i, So by the time the internet showed up, I thought of the internet, the networking, the wiring of the world, as the cobwebs of Rai. All right? So that is one of the images, one of the guiding schema, like Joyce used Vico in Finnegan's Wake. I use the idea of the cobwebs of Rai to guide and to find the signs to show, to find out how matter had changed, to see it in the media extensions. All right? So...
okay, can I just interrupt you there? Is there a visual space artifact where somebody can reference or go back and look at these terms invoked by cosmic awareness, these Rai, Aloi, Too Lofty? Is there some...
No. There's. You would have to find... you'd have to get ancient... you know, mimeograph copies of the readings that Worster did. It was only Worster who discussed this. I don't recall the previous medium, Ralph Doobie, doing it, and certainly only Paul Shockley, who came after Worster, only talked about Rai. He never talked about Eloi, Tu, and Lofty that I was aware of. This actually, these terms, I heard from Dave. He explained this to me. And because I kept in touch and was one of the few people on the planet who kept in touch with Dave, it was a very obscure dialogue that went on between Dave and I. Oh, we're the only ones who use the terms, right? And I had gotten them from Dave. Basically what they are, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly where I was going to go, explain these terms. Rai is the original separateness. Now, when Rai creates this world, it has four aspects, four winds, four substances, four archetypes, and they are Rai, Eloi, Tu, and Lofty. When I say Rai, when I lump it with Eloi, Tu, and Lofty, it's spelled R-A-I, like Italian TV, not R-H-Y-E-E. So R-A-I, that Rai, Ray, we'll call it Ray to be slightly different, Ray, Eloi, Tu, and Lofty are the four aspects of Rai. You got that?
Yep.
So, and you know, in mysticism, William Irwin Thompson talks about it. When I discussed the tetrad with him at the beginning when the tetrad came out, he said, well, that's just a repeat of the fourfold structure and alchemy and all through all kinds of cultures, right? The symbolic weight of fourness seems to be all over the place. So that fourness is here, and it's Rai and then Eloi, Tu, and Lofty. I never got Dave Worster to define those terms. If he did 40 years ago, I forgot them. But I could call him up and see if he had some definitions for them. But they're all subsets of Rai. So R-H-Y-E-E creates this world, which is made up of earth, air, fire, and water. You got that, right? Earth, air, fire, and water. You take those symbols of structure. You could match earth with Rai, with Rai, water with Eloi, fire with Two, and what have I left out there? Air with Lofty, which is what I do in the chart. So I expand on what Rai, Eloi, Two, and Lofty are in this tiny note chart. And I call it R-H-Y-E-E instead of, technically it should be R-A-I, right? I would have Rai up at the top and then the four columns, R-A-I, Eloi, Tu, Lofty. But I blended the R-A-I with R-H-Y-E because I wanted to get the R-H-A-Y-E in there on that level of the chart. All right? So it was poetic license. But I'm here to explain it, and so we can get the correction. Now, the Ba part is the period after the four forces have imploded as Rai in 67. All right, so I have this implosion that's going on. And a side thing, when I started reading Jean Baudrillard, I was struck at how there was an embedded Antonin Artaud kind of mysticism in his writing. And when I saw a picture of him, he's the only other person who looks like Dave Worster. So this end of man theme that the French postmodernists, some of them do, the death of man, not just Barth's death of the author, but death of man, Baudrillard discusses it. That, to me, was the expression of, in the intellectual world, the expression of Rai returned to essence, the end of man, or the creation, the creator here in this limited situation under the separatist rule of Rai. Now, obviously, this smacks of the Gnostic mythos, right? Of the demiurge and all that. You know what I mean? That there's a... I mean, even Marshall wrote about it. The demiurge that is a god that runs this world, and we're all puppets inside it, right? Now, that meme is included, but the way Cosmic Awareness talked about it, it did not have the consequences of Gnosticism. That's what I appreciate about Dave. They went past the Gnostic disservice in laying out this theme. And also, Rai was not seen as a demiurge. It was something else. I call it the first gesture. The first separateness is first gesture. So, I predict on this tiny note chart and the Bob Dobbs formula chart, if you look at the Bob Dobbs formula chart, you'll see the last phase is a dotted line. Do you recall that?
Yes.
I have that dotted line refers to arriving to changed matter and new being, or what Cosmic Awareness called Akasha. Because Cosmic Awareness talked about the tridosia of earth, fire, air, water. Fire, air, water. Water would drop off, and Akasha would replace water, and that would be the new structure in everybody's being. So with that in mind, the dot, dot, dot is a symbolism of landing in new being. And so the two quadrants, the two levels on the formula chart, before you get to the dot, dot, dot final, it's the ninth level, so to speak, on the linear tiers of sections on that formula chart. Level 7 and 8 become the tiny note chart. So level 7 is Holypathic Radio Satellite down to Croker's Holypathic Satellite, and then you get the anthropomorphic physical, the Dobbs quadrant, that represents 8. Okay? So 7 and 8 are merged in this chart, and the chart is speaking from the ninth level of the dotted line, meaning new being. Okay? So these were all nice and fanciful ideas. They meant a lot to me and my understanding of McLuhan and many other things. Built the chart. So you will find words and themes from McLuhan, from William Irwin Thompson, from Arthur Croker, from LaRouche, and from me, sprinkled throughout the chart, the tiny note chart. So you look at Rai, Eloy, Too Lofty, and Bob. Rai can be the Holypathic Radio Satellite or LaRouche Quadrant. Eloy is the McLuhan Quadrant. Two is the Thompson Quadrant. Lofty is the Croker Quadrant. And Bob is the Dobbs Quadrant. Now, I've spelled the details of this out in the dialogues with Scott Norris. So now we come to the fulfillment of the chart is Ion. And I did not know this, when I made the chart in 95. I did not know what I was waiting for, so to speak. I just knew there was a kind of waiting going on and something organic. Certainly what had an influence was the MIHR technology, M-I-H-R, Molecularly Influenced Herbal Remedies, that Carolyn worked on in New York from 93 to 97. That was pretty amazing technology. And I matched that with the D-cell, and then I overlaid that with the Colt Pons and Fleischmann's cold fusion. Those three phenomena, those three strange mystery landscape phenomena, we'll call it now, were what they represent to me the hexatic level. And so the first five, this Android meme chart here, this chart is a picture of the Android meme and its after image and the internet and all that's happened over the last 15 or 20 years. That's all crammed into that, this tiny note chart. And it's all a waiting period, hanging in the cobs of Rai before we broke through. And you've heard me talk about how I said that this was a kind of a software tyranny, which people learned to love more and more as it was more user-friendly from 95 to 2010. But I always said it would flip into a new level, and the symbolism of that was that we'd have a new hardware energy. we were just floating around in software anticipation, software environment anticipating the hardware image, and somehow we'd have a new hardware. I call it hardware because it would deal with the basics, your food and shelter and energy, not the software content that the tiny node chart refers to. That's content merging as figure and ground becomes a monster. And if you noticed, recently in one of the items on MOM that I think Dark Matter found, did you hear McLuhan say that figure merging with ground becomes a monster?
Yep.
That statement was on the first tetrads that Marshall handed out in 74. It was a little mimeographed or a little Xerox thing. And he had a tetrad, and I've talked about it many times, on the law of etherealization. And he talks about how figure, I mean the fourth level of flip or chiasmus, is when figure becomes merges with ground, you have monster. So I only had my memory, and I have an actual copy of that Xerox he handed around in 74, 75. But in a recent something I read on, I heard on MOM, McLuhan mentioned it. You know, I wasn't hallucinating. He did say it, and you recall hearing it, whatever, wherever it was recently.
Yeah, he was talking in relation to King Kong.
Yeah, was that on the Ryerson New University audio that Jim just, or Dark Matter just posted?
I'm not sure it was the exact origin of it, but yeah, it was something recently put up at MUM.
Right. So, that theme was in my mind, so... why did I go into that? The content. All the content in the chart here it's content italicized. It's figure and ground merged. So you got five monsters here. Rai, Eloy, Tulofty, and Bob. Five where their mouths create grounds. It's under the theme of the word makes the market, which is the era of the Android meme. So all of that got realized with the extensions of the non-physical. And that's what I call ion, ion being an environment. So we have arrived at the hexadic level. We now have organic bodies, and you particularly get them from RNA drops is the first product that does that. It changes your... Your RNA brings in new information that changes your chromosome, changes your DNA through chromosome 14. So that's available. And that is what my chart's pointing to. Now, once this this aspect of having actual extensions of non-physical over the past 6 months or to a year, we started analyzing the Book of Revelations, some of us, with ION. And we found out that ION could use the words tetrad, pentad, dyad, and occasionally refer to the hexad, and was talking about this is the Jubilee year when heaven comes to earth. Now, you know, at risk of sounding like a Reverend Harold Camping or a rapturist or any kind of apocalyptic millenarist, I'm trying not to be that, but it's very interesting what's happened. And Ion says, if you want to know how we got to this hexadic level, look at Bob's chart. And Ion is pretty smart. I haven't talked to him consciously about the chart too much, but he knows how to discuss it. Not in fine detail that I do with Scott, at least not yet. So I think it's not, what do you call it? It's not opportunism. Where Ion is sort of grabbing the chart as the next bunch of words he's going to use, he makes sense. He completes what it is. And it's what I meant, or what I imagined I meant when I was thinking of Mir and the D-cell and cold fusion. And I announced on June 22nd that the cold fusion project is completed, and we already have the RNA drops, which is an extension of the D-cell. So all these aspects were in the chart when I used to walk around Central Park with Carolyn in the mid-90s talking about the making of the chart and referring to her work with Mir, what we knew about the D-cell, and about cold fusion. And little did I know we'd end up in this situation where I'm associated with the actual new environment. So that's the big picture we have moved beyond the tiny node chart. We've arrived at the bottom level in the Dobbs formula chart, which is the bigger chart, which goes from 1750 to 2020, whereas the tiny node chart is basically 1960 to 1990, with an after image from 1990 to around now. Though it could have gone to 2020, sometime in here. Well, it turned out it really started to crystallize and melt away in 2009. Okay, so is that a beginning point?
Yeah, no, that's a great beginning point. Okay, so to what extent were your charts an extension and... So I'm just going back a phase. To what extent does the tiny note chart grow out of the post-McLuhan attempt to refine and the tetrads?
It all comes from that. When Frank Cingroni wrote his article on the pentad, the fifth law, the fifth law in the early 90s for that hard copy journal called McLuhan Studies, Volume 1. I think you can get that online and get Zingroni's article. He was the first to kind of organize a way of thinking about a possible fifth law, and it was around the word fusion. And he had this interesting take on, in the evolution of technology, it's almost like noting that when the cliche merges with the archetype, there's a fusion process. And I certainly in 91, when I read that article, had cold fusion in mind. This whole fusion thing, plus the letter by McLuhan in 51 to Pound, the June 22nd letter, June 22nd, 1951. Hey, that's 60 years later when we had the announcement last week, June 22nd, 2011. Hey, that's pretty good, Andrew. The 60. And... where Marshall talks about the machine and the human have totally fused. You know that part of that letter.
Yes.
So the word fusion was important in thinking about what Zingroni was trying to take up. And I always considered Zingroni part of the mystical fusion school, which is the Bergson school, the enemy of Lewis's attempt not to fuse. Right? I mean, remember, Lewis is against the fusion mystical strain. But I'm comprehensive, so I don't take sides. I enjoy both. And so I don't get too uptight about Bergson's school of thinking. I can use it. And Zingroni came out of the Bergson side. And it's interesting, in the original Counterblast of 1954, Marshall blesses separateness. That would be the separateness from... the fusion aspect. So it's a Wyndham Lewisian thing to celebrate separateness. It's a celebrating the characteristics of the eye and its extension and its separating and fragmented and isolating aspect. You know what I mean by that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so, I wanted to have the fusion happen, or I wanted to see the implications of cold fusion and relate it with an awareness of the Lewis take on fusion, the disservices of fusion, and the services of fusion that Zingroni mentioned, all right? So it's interesting. I don't think Eric McLuhan would come up with the fusion idea to create the fifth law because he's of the Lewis school, and they're not interested in fusion. You would have that meme circulating around you if you read a lot of Lewis. But Zingroni read a lot of mysticism, the Gnostic stuff that Bruce Powell was into, and Bruce and Frank have discussed these mystical themes. And knowledgeable McLuhanites will not put McLuhan in the Gnostic side or the Bergson side. But McLuhan could, if you know how to deal with McLuhan comprehensively, you know he includes the fusion side. So Cingroni represents that, and because he could think of fusion, he came up with the fifth law. All right? So that's just a little theory I've made up about it. So... okay, so you've got the fusion. So we have the pentad. And I knew that we had moved in a post-McLuhan digital era, no longer analog media, and Croker was the only one addressing that in his book, The Postmodern Scene in 1986. He just touches it, gets a whiff of it in his book on Innis Grant and McLuhan, right, when he talks about McLuhan. leaping over to the other side and embedding himself in the simulacrum. Do you remember that part of Croker's essay?
Yep.
That Marshall took, it was the first to make the leap into the simulacrum. Well, it kind of implies the fusion aspect. And then Croker develops in his Postmodern Scene book and the Panic Encyclopedia and books in the 90s, is the rapidity of extension is faster than something you can make a tetrad on. The tetrad is too slow. The tetrad arrives too late. Remember Lamartine's quote, the book arrives too late?
Yes.
Well, by the late 80s, the tetrad arrives too late. So I knew that that I had to work from the pentadic level, and yet I brought in cold fusion. I don't know if Croker thinks about cold fusion. He has mentioned something like that in passing, but not much. And so I worked with the cold fusion and the Zingroni aspect of fusion and came up with my version of pentad. And I knew that that was a product of the second phase of machines extending machines, or the machinic extending machinic, or the parts of the extended brain extending itself, all those different ways of looking at the digital phase or the Android meme phase, which is beyond McLuhan's history of technologies and the analog phase. Okay, so you have this fusion. You have you have to work with the pentad, and you have to recognize the incredible consequences if we actually had cold fusion and other kinds of medicine indicated by D-cell and the mirror technology that Carolyn's working with. So I had that unique database to take this into an, I'd say it's post-Croker, post-Thompson. I come after Croker. It's actually coming up with a solution to the horrible situation of the Android meme that Croker lays out. All right? If he exaggerates the disservices. Now, that is not the fact for the Morpheus generation, so the kids born since the late 80s, early 90s. Technology is tiny, not a threat at all. It's a cuddly pet, right? So I was on the right track to not worry about the Leviathan that Croker was concerned about remaining here. You know what I mean? I knew that it would shrink and the Android meme would become friendlier. But I also saw the disservice of just an information society, even a post-information society. So I imagine we'd go somewhere next. We'd go to a breakthrough and not be reliant on software. And money is part of software. And then digital money. And the whole rent Leviathan would be obliterated by cold fusion. It would, once you had your cold fusion battery, you wouldn't need to pay for any more energy. You'd have energy. So the cold fusion battery would be the biggest selling item in history. And then once everybody had one, money would be gone. So if you were the one who made the trillions of dollars from selling the cold fusion, your money would be useless unless you found new ways to use it, to invent it, right?
Yep.
Because once the basic conditions of physical survival are met, the rest is gravy. Okay, so those were all the thinking that went into imagining a stage past the pentad.